Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Characters were flawed and uninspired. The love scenes were amateurish, to say the least.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 11, The Scare. Ooh, and now here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Ah! Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you what's coming up on the Patreon. Again with this episode 193, dropping May 24th. Let's watch Louis Arquette, Brian Bloom, Cliff DeYoung, Edie McClurg, Alyssa Milano, and Matthew Perry in Dance Till Dawn. It's on YouTube. This is a made-for-TV movie about a prom. We're going to get into it and find that link in the show notes. And if you are not already in the Patreon, you should be. Join us at againwiththispodcast.com/club for this episode and the God nearly 200 that precede it. This is going to close out May for us prom style. So that's why I picked it for this particular week.
Gorgeous.
Let's get into our one and only plot. Everyone has a terrifying Friday the 13th. We open on Joey and Dawson sitting on his bed, her wincing, him looking rapt, and then cut to his little TV screen so we can see they're watching I Know What You Did Last Summer, because the posters we've already seen, I guess, were not enough product placement. Sarah Michelle Gellar is just about to be killed as we check back in with her. And when Joey reacts to a jump scare, Dawson laughs at her and she grabs her the remote and turns the movie off. They go back and forth for a while, so the shorthand is he made them have a scary movie marathon because tomorrow's Friday the 13th. She doesn't like being scared and especially doesn't like when Dawson scares her and thinks there's enough real horror in the world without adding the fictional to it. And right on cue, the anchor on the news that she has just put on tells them that the Boston lady killer has claimed his fifth victim. Joey gloats that this proves her right. Dawson says this, clip two.
You talk big, Joey. And your argument is solid.
Okay. I hear it now, but I rewound this three times and I still couldn't figure out what he said at the end of that. You and you, Arkham Salad, was as close as I got.
I mean, kind of fits with the theme of the episode.
It does.
Arkham Salad.
We ripped these from the DVDs, but I had to put on the Hulu version with subtitles so that I could figure out he's saying, and your argument is solid. In a very mush-mouthed way, but fine.
I heard, and you almost sell it, but they just didn't give him another take.
Oh, well, I mean, that would work too. That's the sense of what he's saying.
Whatever the captions told you is no doubt true, but...
Yeah, regardless. Dawson says Joey's dodging the real issue, which is that she's a scaredy cat. She flips over to Jerry Maguire in Progress, a different kind of horror. Joey notices that Dawson's disappeared and calls for him, claiming he's not scaring her until he shoots out from under the bed in his Jason mask and chaste wrestling ensues, because they love to end a scene with that. At school the next day, Pacey quizzes Dawson about his Friday the 13th plans. Dawson claims he's done trying to turn his life into an exciting movie because he just ends up disappointed, like when he was with Jen and thought he was in a sweeping romance, but it wasn't even tragic, it just ended. And it's about here that we see this is another Mike White episode. I think not as good as the last one, in my opinion, but he had a more restrictive brief this time. I don't know. I guess we can get into it.
I was fine with it because it was this like single plot kind of one note bore.
Mm-hmm.
So like I wasn't invested, but I also wasn't like actively bored. It just was kind of unspooling with nothing that was that important.
Yeah.
In it. The one thing that struck me was that once again, it felt like we were resetting a bunch of stuff to an episode ending that like either already happened or didn't happen yet. Like, I feel like things are airing out of order again.
They did. This one was supposed to come before Double Date. And it's clear at various points that that's the case.
All right.
So Pacey insists that Dawson has to do it up, especially with a serial killer on the loose. And Dawson's like, nope. And then Pacey opens his locker to a skull popping out and Dawson beaming that Pacey is a sucker. Oh, God. Elsewhere, Cliff asks Jen out. She's down on the whole dating thing after, as she says, what happened last time. And Cliff says that's because the guy she dated wasn't any fun. And there's no acknowledgement that the last time Jen and Cliff went out was at the carnival, because that hasn't happened yet in the original timeline. Jen loyally defends Dawson as original and imaginative when it comes to dates. And this is a major plot thread. I don't know what evidence from their relationship he's pointing to other than when he like staged a whole situation and took her to that weird island so that he could kiss her on camera and accidentally film Pacey and Tamara.
I don't know. I was never I'd set up this boat ride for us. Come with me. Here's a blindfold. Like, fuck out of here. There's not going to be a second date in that case. Like, just let's go bowling. It's not. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, that was the last date we heard they were going to have before she dumped him, which is fine, but whatever. Cliff obviously then must ask why Jen is not dating Dawson now if he's so great at planning dates, and she says it's a long story, and Joey eavesdrops as Cliff asks Jen out again, and Jen accepts. While behind her, Joey pulls a book out of her bag with a rubber snake on it and gasps, even though she would feel the snake when she touched it with her hand, pulling it out of her bag. Whatever. She gets embarrassed. Clip 3.
Let me guess. Dawson, huh?
Dead Dawson.
Yeah, you gotta admit, though, the guy does have a sense of humor.
Wait, I have humor.
I know.
I have humor.
Oh, God. Poor Scott Foley, truly.
He makes you believe it, almost, but yeah.
Yeah.
At lunch, Pacey is ruining his fries with too much ketchup and telling Dawson he has heard from Doug that the Lady Killer's victims are all girls around Joey's age. The guy stalks them with letters and phone calls before cutting out their hearts, but they have not reported that part because it's too morbid. And Capeside is the next likely target, and he could be right behind Joey right now, which is when Dawson, of course, leans in to scare her and then announces he's having a séance at his place tonight. Pacey reminds him of his claim that he was dropping this shit, but Dawson says old habits die hard and old friends die even harder. And then he drops a bloody severed finger prop on top of Pacey's fries. But then Jen is the one horrifying Dawson when she says she can't come because she has plans with Cliff. They go back and forth for too long about whether he should be bothered and whether she should be bothered that he's not bothered. And then Pacey almost bites straight through the finger and Joey thanks Dawson for giving her a break. And Jen pointedly asks if Dawson's going to scare her, because they're still friends, right? But he just figured she was not into scary stuff, even though she was in his horror movie.
Like she, and has been looking directly at his hair with no protective eyewear for like 2 months now.
It's true.
Also, doesn't all this shit track more with Pacey? Like, does Dawson seem like a rubber finger in the fries guy?
No.
That's a Pacey joint, right?
Yes. Dawson seems like a very, like, sniffy, I hate pranks, pranks are mean guy to me.
Yeah. Hitchcock is the father of horror and I won't watch anything made after 1975 guy. Yes. Totally.
Anyway, it's an awkward moment until Jen slips away to tell them to have fun and Pacey drops the finger on Joey's plate. And then Dawson's rushing out of Mr. Gold's class when Cliff asks for a favor. He wants Dawson to tell him where he thinks Cliff should take Jen for what could be his last shot with her. Dawson would like to stay out of this, but Cliff barrels on. He wants it to be imaginative and original, which Dawson is the master of, according to Jen. Dawson is gratified to hear Cliff repeat the compliment, because of course he is, so he'll think about it. And then Jen opens a note in her locker that reads, "You are going to die tonight." And then Cliff is behind her, startling the hell out of her. She shows him the note and then realizes she's being silly because the culprit is probably Dawson. And Cliff's like, "How do you know it was Dawson?" So that we know it was Cliff. And he promises to protect her, adding as he leaves that their date will be original and imaginative. And then Jen is at home chopping vegetables for dinner when... Clip 4.
Hello?
Hello.
Who's this? Okay, Dawson. Dawson, I got your note. I feel very part of. Thank you very much. Now you can stop.
Who's Dawson?
All right. Yeah, I saw this movie.
So, tell me your name.
Drew Barrymore. Look, you want to play this game? Let's cut right to the chase. What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh.
Do you want to try at all to let us know that it's not Scott Foley? Because it's obviously Scott Foley.
Right. Yes. Ghostface had some kind of voice disguiser. That's just Scott Foley talking kind of hoarse. Like, it's clearly him.
Which I mean, I don't hate it. I also would try to keep him on the phone, but that's not what the script is doing.
So his favorite scary movie is Friday the 13th. Hers is the Ten Commandments. Hardy har har. She asks if he's the lady killer.
I actually laughed at that. What's wrong with me? It was a good line delivery for Michelle Williams. And she's like, Ten Commandments. Long story. Anyway, I was like, I don't... Just beaten down by how much prep I had to do yesterday.
Yeah.
Well played.
So Jen asks the caller if he is the lady killer waiting outside on a cellular to cut her heart out. And when he says maybe, she tells him to find a better heart. Hers is a little dented. Maybe he can help, he says. Jen testily tells Dawson this is as far as they need to go, but the caller still doesn't know who Dawson is. So Jen sweeps open the curtains to look outside. The caller says he's closer than that. Starting to get scared, she grabs the knife she was chopping vegetables with and anxiously asks Dawson if he snuck into the house. Caller who is definitely Cliff? Clip 5.
This guy Dawson sounds like a real loser.
Well, now I never want this call to end.
I know. Also, can we please keep that on the soundboard forever? Okay, thanks, bye.
Jen says that Dawson is out there, but in a good way, and the caller then asks about her grandfather, so she takes the knife down the hall and tells Dawson that hiding in her gramps' room is really low. And when she sees the windows open in there, she yells into the phone that she's officially scared and he can come out, but he's not in the closet. And the caller tells her not to look under the bed, but there's no one there. Someone is in the bed, as Jen is reminded when Gramps' hand falls off the edge onto her head. And she screams and tells Dawson this is officially no longer funny, and the caller orders her to stop calling him that, as any of us would. It's very insulting. And then someone is at the front door knocking and jiggling the knob. Then the back door slams open, but it's only Gramps, obviously confused as to why Jen is so freaked out. Jen asks again who is on the phone, and he just tells her, and then, after the commercial, it's the middle of the afternoon, based on the light. Dawson's getting ready to hang a baby doll in a noose from the porch ceiling when Joey shows up, so he throws it behind a love seat, but she already saw it. He claims his childish fascination with fear has waned, roughly 3 hours after inviting his best friends over for a seance that, as far as we know, is still happening. There's some more innocent physical horseplay as he keeps Joey from pulling the doll back out until Pacey shows up in a Jeep so he can take them to get snacks. Joey complaining about his bad driving, which we then see as Pacey screams into a parking spot. He asks her to watch the car while he and Dawson go in. It's dark out by now, by the way, because he can't really turn it off. And Joey remembers that he only drives the Jeep when he hotwires it. And inside, Dawson and Pacey are hitting up the chip aisle as Clip 6.
You think you
shut
are?
Up, shut up.
You do not
touch me.
On me.
Don't touch me.
You're crazy. You know that. You're crazy.
Get out of my face, wench.
Oh, I got your face, wench.
Should we
stop
do something?
It.
Domestic squabble.
Let
back
go
off.
Go of me. Hey, let go and stop it. Let go of me. Hey, 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 hey. Where do you think you're going?
None of your damn business. I'm gone.
You're puke. You know that. You 2 cent lowlife. I hate you.
Hi, boys.
So, this is Jennifer McComb.
Hope you liked that, because there's a lot of it.
Oh, boy.
It's not good.
No.
There's a lot of it.
So this actress is Jennifer McComb. She is the sister of Heather McComb. Therefore, she is James Vanderbeek's future sister-in-law for a time. He is not married to Heather anymore. She is not the mother of his million children.
Yeah, this is like bargain basement misprint Biddy Schramm.
Oh, yes.
once you see the resemblance and then you're reminded constantly that it's not Biddy Schramm, it's a really kind of a trial to get through the rest of this plot. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. This woman brightly asks if Pacey and Dawson are having a real party, then guesses they're not 21. Pacey says they're just a few weeks away. And this woman, whose name we're about to find out, is improbably Ursula, basically screams an offer to score them some wine. Pacey quietly says that would be great, then watches her drop a bottle in her bag and stroll away. Alone in the car, Joey starts getting antsy and tries to put on the radio, but it's not working. And then a creep is staring through the window at her. And after he motions for her to roll the window down, he basically delivers a masterclass in how to not talk to a stranger. Clip 7.
Hi there.
Hi.
What's your name?
Joey.
Hi, Joey. I'm David. I'm a little lost. I was on my way to Providence, and I think I took a wrong turn somewhere.
Providence? You're more than a little lost.
Maybe you can point me in the right direction.
Sure. You just take Elm Street, which is this street right here, and you take it a few miles until you hit the highway.
Oh, sorry, was I staring? It's just that you have the most intense eyes. Has anyone ever told you that? They're really piercing.
Thanks.
I'm so tired. I've been on the road all day. Is there a hotel around here?
Yeah, actually, not too far.
I don't know this area at all. How about you? Do you live nearby?
What's going on? You need something?
No, sport. Don't.
Joey.
Joey.
Think of all people to not just roll up the window and ignore him.
Yeah.
Sigh.
I know these are happening out of order, but the Ted Bundy conversation. But anyway.
Uh-huh.
When this guy's gone, Dawson gets in and teases Joey about talking to strangers, because that guy could be the lady killer. Asking for directions is the oldest trick in the book. Clip 8.
Serial killers are typically white males in their 20s. Hello? It's the 90s. You gotta be careful.
Whatever.
Dawson is the one who's been watching Unsolved Mysteries and Dateline? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. That's a Jen joint, or an Abby joint, honestly, but anyway.
Yeah. So then, by the door, Ursula hands the wine off to Pacey. Clip 9.
Cabernet Sauvignon, my favorite.
Yeah, remember that when she asks to chill it / put it on ice later? Real classy dame.
Seriously. I also like to think that Joshua Jackson was barred from re-entering his home region of British Columbia, specifically Vancouver, a wine-producing area in Canada, by, even as a joke, saying what we just heard.
Sure.
So I assume Pacey means it by way of thanks when he invites Ursula to come to the seance. And since her furious boyfriend Eddie comes around the corner just then screaming at her again, she agrees and hauls ass to the Jeep, yelling at everyone to lock their doors as Eddie pounds on the car, and finally Pacey peels out. Over to Grams' house, where Cliff is exactly on time to pick up Jen, and Grams is thrilled to meet him after all the wonderful things she's heard and seeing him in church every week. Jen jokes that Grams loving Cliff is not a great sign, then wonders if she should go get her coat, but Cliff says they're not going far, just over to Dawson's for the seance. Won't that be killer? And over at the Leary house, all the teens and Cliff, who is like 30, are looming in the doorway as Ursula checks out the living room, falling for a caramel corn canister with an exploding snake inside that makes her fully scream, then crack up. She just loves to be scared. Eddie scares the goop out of her. When she goes into the kitchen to pour herself a drink, clip 10.
So, thanks for the phone call.
What phone call? Oh, was I supposed to call you?
Yeah, and the note in my locker. Nice touch. You know, it was a bit harsh, but you do strive for realism.
What note? What phone call?
Oh, come on, Dawson, don't play dumb with me. I know you're trying to scare me.
No, why would I do that?
Because it's what you do. It's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, but Jen, this is it. Fake snakes. I'm sorry I didn't plan anything specific for you. I didn't think you'd get into it.
No one likes this, but I guess no one likes being excluded even more. I don't know. As Sarah mentioned, Ursula is getting ice for her red wine when she flings open the freezer, sees a prop bludgeoned head, and clip 11.
Ah!
So that's that fake laugh I warned you about when we heard that clip on our sister Patreon podcast, Extra Extra Hot Great, with the Starfire clip of the forced multiple days of fake laughter, because this was something the character was going to have to do a bunch. Maybe they should have cast someone whose fake laugh is not so very obviously fake, because it tortured me.
You know, Biddy Schramm.
For example.
Who looks younger. Yes. Also, lesser heart.
Better perm, better eyeshadow.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
So then Dawson's setting up for the seance in the living room. Would love to know where this illuminated table came from. It's got like lights all the way around the edge of it. It is super tacky. When he sends Joey to the closet to get the seance book and Jen goes with her, Cliff thanks Dawson for helping him achieve the most original first date he can think of. Because, again, this was supposed to air before Double Date. Cliff continues enthusing about how unexpected it is for him to bring Jen to her ex's house, apparently not realizing it's unexpected because it's dumb and a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
In the hall, Jen bores Joey with her suspicions that Jen and Cliff ending up here was all Dawson's idea because Cliff is not creative enough. This word keeps being thrown around such that I'm not sure if anyone knows what it means, including Mike White. Like, come to a thing I'm having is not creative.
No. Also, he's the quarterback. He doesn't need to be creative. Right. He would never ask this boob for advice anyway. He looks like Scott Foley. Creativity over?
Yeah, exactly. Then, of course, there's a corpse dummy in the hall closet. And then everyone gathers around the table as Ursula tries to summon spirits, possibly because she's the closest to death. I don't know why Dawson's giving the responsibility for this event's success to her. But Pacey thinks they should channel the Lady Killer's victims so that they can identify him. Dawson describes the Lady Killer's MO, including creepy phone calls, and Cliff asks Jen, "You got a call, didn't you?" Not sure when she would have had time to tell him that, but Jen says someone did call, and his name is Dawson, who denies it again. And Joey, despite her scaredy cat status, urges Dawson to continue. This is a long one, but it's worth it. Clip 12.
So anyway, so he called her and learned that she was going to be home alone that night. Now, she lived in a town where nobody locked their doors. He disconnected her electricity, cut off her phone, walked right through the front door, up her stairs, into her bedroom while she was sleeping, and cut out her heart in one clean sweep. He uses a long lacerating scalpel, so they think he might be a doctor or something.
You know what makes that story so scary?
It's true.
You know, you think stuff like that never happens, but then it always does.
I've got a story. It's true, too. A woman with a newborn goes out to the country to pick blueberries. Right? She leaves the baby in the back in his little car seat with the door open so that she can hear him if he cries. She goes out picking in the blueberry patch, and after about a half an hour, she realizes she hasn't heard a peep from the baby. She runs back to the car, looks in the back. A huge snake has crawled down the throat of the baby, its tail wagging out. So in major shock, she reaches in, yanks the snake out, and along with it, comes all the babies inside.
That's not scary, that's disgusting.
I mean, yeah.
Please go to the visual aids so you can see the face of Cliff as he's like, well, I miscalculated that one. No one liked it.
Someone's been reading Chuck Palahniuk. Great job, everybody.
Cut. Oh my God.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I do, and I wish I didn't.
I'm sorry. I'm the Cliff in the scenario. Don't get up. I'll fire myself.
I'm the Jen going, poor baby. Anyway. Ursula has a story, too. A boy picks up a woman in a convenience store and brings her back to his friend's place. But what none of them know is she's ill in the head from years of abuse. And in her purse, she carries a great big knife because sometimes, just for fun, she likes to slice open throats and see how far the blood will spurt. This gets some feeble laughs, although Ursula tries to keep a straight face, and all the kids are leaning over the illuminated table to try to read her when the power goes out. Da da da.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
after the break, people are yelling at Dawson to turn the lights back on. Well, he claims he didn't do it and it must be a blackout. Jen thinks it's a little too convenient for it to have happened during Dawson's seance, but when she tries to call the power company, the phones are out. Everyone splits up into pairs to deal with the situation. When Dawson says he's going to check the fuse box outside, Ursula goes with them. Are fuse boxes outside? It seems like a weird place to put a fuse box because it could get, like, rained on or fucked with by someone who's not inside your house.
Yeah, I never heard of a fuse box being outside.
Mm-mm. All right. On their mission to check the doors, Pacey teases Joey about falling for Dawson's setup, but Joey says there is a psychopath in the house and that Pacey brought her. First Tamara, now this. Clip 13.
I mean, your bizarre mother complex is going to get us all killed.
Oh, I don't know. I think she's kind of sexy. She's into me, don't you think, huh?
She's a nutcase. I mean, the story about the knife in her purse. Face it, Pacey. You have the worst taste in women.
Oh, and coming from you, that really hurts.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Well, what about your taste, Joey? You're going to go to your grave pining away for your best friend. A guy who's so oblivious, he doesn't have a clue that you lust after morning, noon, and night.
I don't lust after him.
Right. Denial, denial. Should we check it out?
Go for it.
Yeah, definitely was supposed to air before the previous episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Annoying. Pacey creeps toward the noise, Joey close behind. He activates a giant swinging axe. Mitch and Gale, you are giving this child too much allowance.
Mm-hmm.
Upstairs, Jen is looking for Cliff and not amused when he jumps out and scares her. When she's recovered, she's sure another prop is about to pop out at them. There's nothing like that in the linen closet when they open it, but there is a mirror on which something is written that I assume is "you're gonna die tonight," but you can hardly see what it is. Go to the visual aids to see the half of it that's visible. So bad.
Yeah, they lit it like shit too. I mean, I understand that, like, on the production side, they're like, this is very dumb and we're not gonna try, but then why bother with the shot setup? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Jen complains some more about all the ways Dawson has been bugging her today, and Cliff yet again floats the possibility that somebody else has been doing it all. Like, what if there really is a psychopath following her around and trying to kill her? It would be bad. Like, I don't know what he's aiming for here, but whatever. Outside, also improbably, Dawson's at the fuse box. Ursula gives him her lighter and then starts rooting around in her bag and pulls out a scarf and jokes that, you know, what was he expecting? A knife? Dawson laughs nervously. Ursula says she doesn't stab people. She takes a pistol and shoots them in the head. Ha ha ha. Dawson says she's a good actress. As she yammers about having considered going to Hollywood, we get a POV shot of someone watching them just as Ursula confirms that Eddie is crazy and has done time in the pen for assault and battery. He's a monster, but he's her monster. Loves a complicated bitch. Ursula guesses Dawson just broke up with a girl inside, but that girl loves him back. Clip 14.
What do you know about it?
I know that she wants you. And you have been scaring her all night, so it's obvious you want her.
I haven't scared her once tonight. I've been scaring Joey.
Yeah, the brunette. Cute. Feisty. The two of you will work out.
No, Jen's my ex-girlfriend, not Joey.
Then there's your problem. You're dating the wrong girl.
No. Joey and I have this intense friendship. Nothing more. We've got that extra sensory canal thing you were talking about.
Ooh.
You know, I don't get this. I set on a timer so that it would go off right at 11.
So the blackout was all a big stunt?
Yeah, but the fuse box, it's like someone's come along and jammed it.
What was that?
Let's get back inside.
Asked and answered, show.
But that's when Dawson finds out Joey went off on her own to look for him and gets worried. He opens a door. Joey's bloodied body falls out and Dawson yells, and he is still yelling as we come out of another commercial break and see a masked figure with a knife standing over Joey. But then Joey starts cracking up and so does Jen, lifting the mask. Bitterly, Dawson snaps that it was lame. See, this is what I'm saying. Doesn't like pranks. Mm-hmm. Clip 15.
Come on, you can dish it out, but you can't take it.
The level of scare here is different. I give you rubber snakes, not Joey dead, okay? There's a difference.
Boo-hoo. It was Jen's idea, and quite frankly, a good one.
Jen, that was your idea?
Hey, your notes and phone calls were a little more than rubber appliances, all right? They were very real.
And very scary, I might add.
Jen, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't send you any notes. I didn't call you.
Are you serious?
Is he ever funny?
No.
So Dawson huffs up to his room and Jen follows, making him repeat his denial and add an honest to God. Dawson says she doesn't believe in God, and instead of admitting that maybe she does a little, she asks who did call her. Dawson suggests the lady killer. Once again, Jen gets all sniffy that Dawson didn't care enough to try to scare her. Dawson reminds her that she dumped him, so he crossed her off the scare list, and he invited them over to help Cliff out and maybe try to get over Jen. Or watch over her, she suggests. He fondles her hair as he says he doesn't like the way things are, and they lean toward each other and seem like they're about to kiss before they stop themselves. She should go, but she doesn't want him crossing her off any more lists. And on the porch, Ursula's losing patience and denying to Pacey that she's scared. He has just told her he's been with older women before when they both hear a weird noise outside, and then Eddie is smashing through the screen door and Ursula's shoving Pacey at him to protect herself while he tries to shake her off. Cool lady alert. Cliff opens the door and Pacey and Ursula fall in, holding it closed against Eddie. Clip 16.
All right, tell them both
of you! Promises, promises! Pacey will tear you apart! He's my new man and he'll protect me!
What's going on?
I've got her boyfriend's outside.
He's really pissed.
He is.
I'm gonna call the police, Eddie!
No, you won't!
Yes, I will! I'm gonna call them right now!
No, can do. I just connected the phone line out back.
He's lost it. I'm getting out of here.
He's looking for a way in.
Lock the doors.
Lock the doors.
Oh, okay. So Cliff, not gonna die in this hill. Also, you disconnected the phone out back? Do you work for MassTel? What? Were you up the with the little like claw things that they yes. climb the poles with in your little helmet?
Yes. He is a lineman for the county. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this is where you can really kind of tell that Mike White is a, you know, indoor kid.
Sure. So everyone rushes to secure the doors, but then Joey remembers the ladder to Dawson's room. And when they run upstairs, they see the window is open and decide that Eddie got in. But when Pacey tries to run out the front door, it's straight into Eddie, who starts strangling Pacey for trying to take his woman. Joey hits him with what I think is a cast iron pan. Again, it's very dark. She is continuing to beat him with it when Ursula runs down the stairs, yelling at her to stop. Eddie's alive. He and Ursula love each other. Impressionable teenagers and Cliff should honestly not have to witness this kind of shit, but off they go to be dysfunctional somewhere else. Clip 17.
These kids are weird. Sorry about the damage. I work down at the bowling alley in Dalman. If you come down, I'll give you a discount on your shoes.
You work where?
Bowling alley at Dalewood?
Okay. I feel like she was maybe trying to say Falmouth.
Oh.
And didn't say it. And they were like, it's enough with this lady. And do you want another take? No, we got the glass. Doesn't matter.
Right. And then Jen's walking home with Cliff, relieved the night is over. He thought she liked to be scared, and she says there's nothing she likes less. So why was she up Dawson's ass all fucking day about not including her? Jesus, lady, make up your mind.
Ugh.
Anyway, Cliff is surprised to hear Jen say she doesn't like scares because Dawson told him something else. Clip 18.
You know how I feel about you, right, Jen? I mean, do you know how I feel about you? I like you. I think you're great.
Thanks, Cliff. I think you're great, too.
No, you don't.
No, I do. I think you're a really sweet guy.
I just kind of got the feeling that you like Dawson because he's so creative, and maybe you think I'm too stiff or unimaginative or not unique enough.
No, I don't think that at all.
Well, so I went to Dawson and I asked his advice.
Wait, you asked Dawson's advice?
And he told me you really like to be scared, and if I got you all worked up, that, I don't know, you'd be impressed.
Wait a minute, you're the one that called me this afternoon, and the notes, you're the one that sent the notes. Okay, and Dawson told you to do this.
No, I came up with that all on my own. It's pretty cool, huh?
Cliff, you know what, to be honest with you, Cliff, I'm not really in the market for a boyfriend right now, okay? I mean, my love life is kind of crashed and burned, and I'm just picking up the pieces, but But if I were, I'd want you to be yourself, okay? Not some Dawson knockoff.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty stupid, huh? Me trying to be original by copying somebody else.
Especially him. Fuck.
That and, you know, I guess I would forgive Cliff for thinking that would work since he apparently copied someone else with his screenplay that he wrote for the football movie that Dawson was a PA on. Just saying. Haven't heard about that in a while. Not complaining. Just saying.
No.
After Pacey peels out in the Jeep, we thought he had a hard time hot wiring. We are at Graham's door as Cliff asks if he can give Jen a kiss, but then just goes ahead and dives in when she's in the middle of answering. Graham's opens the door in the middle of that, but she loves Cliff so much that she pleasantly says hello and Jen doesn't have to rush. Jen says she thinks that Graham's has the hots for Cliff if he's interested, but he kind of has a crush on someone else. And then inside, Graham's tells Jen she likes Cliff and then gives Jen a piece of mail. It snaps her finger before she reads a happy Friday the 13th message signed from Dawson, and Jen smiles. And then clip 19.
What is it, dear?
Oh, actually, Graham's, it's for you. Night.
No!
So good. It got me.
It got me too. That probably should have been the end, but it's not. We have to return to Dawson's bedroom where he and Joey are arguing back and forth about which of them scared the other more. She thought maybe he might be sad if she died. Dawson calls that ridiculous. He would not be sad. He'd be inconsolable. And he asks, what about him? Joey can't even articulate what she would do if he died and just silently nods that she would also be sad. She will sleep over, but reminds him that Friday the 13th is over, so it'd be great if they could go back to pretending the world is a safe place, and he agrees, just before she pulls back the quilt to a ton of plastic spiders on her side. And then Dawson turns the TV on, conveniently just in time for the news anchor to say cops have arrested the lady killer. His name is David Blanchard, and he was found prowling a residential neighborhood. And yes, he is absolutely the guy who tried to tell Joey he got lost on his way to Providence. And Joey and Dawson are shocked.
And he's arrested in exactly the same spot where he was perving on Joey. Like, yeah. Literally exactly the same point in the driveway.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes they, sometimes they catch themselves.
And that's it. Okay. Let's close things up by naming our episode MVP. I'm going to say Eddie. He was like the legitimately scariest part of the episode for me.
I mean, every time I think of someone, it's like, but then they'd had this problem. Like, I would say Jen, because that whole, like, get Dawson back idea was hers. But then she couldn't figure out that was Cliff.
Right.
Didn't want to make out with Cliff. I can't give that the MVP, but I can't give Cliff the MVP either because he has a TBI, apparently. So, Graham's, because she understands that Cliff is hot, and that was cute, and I laughed.
It was. Least valuable player. I mean, the lady killer?
Yeah.
All right.
He's a murderer and he sucks at eluding capture, so I'm comfortable with that. Next time on Again with This Melrose Edition, it's all over but the crying. And actually, so is the crying. Speaking of things that inflame the eye, it's our visual aids. You can find those at againwiththispodcast.com. And don't forget, the Chris Marchette tip line is open 24/7, 365. That's at 210-920-4699. Call or text us anytime with your questions, comments, and crackpot theories. I'm Cabernet on the Rock, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Insufficient Bowling Shoe Discount, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole's not scary. It's disgusting. Talk to you next time.
Thanks, David.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.